Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, whatever your insurance needs may be. They also give you advice in other areas, too, that's so important. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Paul Alexander in a moment. But our play-by-play call today, Panarin in overtime for the Rangers.
Now Panarin looking. Here's Fox. Panarin, right wing circle. Shoot! He scores!
Panarin having opportunities to shoot the puck on the power play here tonight. And he seemed to want to defer, but not in overtime. Fox, little pitch and catch. And the Breadman delivers in overtime.
And the calls of Kenny Albert and Eddie Olczyk was TBS last night. And let's bring in Paul Alexander. Join us for a few minutes. One of my favorite people on the planet, sir. Great to have you with us. And by the way, a belated happy birthday to your beautiful wife.
Oh, well, thank you for all of that, except for that that radio replay. I guess it was a TV replay. That'll haunt Penguin fans for a long time because, the future with the three longest tenured teammates in NHL history, with Crosby, Malkin, and Letang. No word on whether or not that the band's going to be kept together. So that was a tough one. The NHL, as much as I love hockey, and I do love hockey, I really don't like the NHL very much. If they would just act like the most prominent and powerful sports league in the world, my apologies to all those soccer, configurations. The NFL gets it. They protect their stars. Hits to the head became a problem. They were eliminated. They were fined heavily, and they basically, disappeared. And then you hit Tom Brady with a low hit, all of a sudden that's a penalty, and that's finable, and that's going to protect your quarterbacks even more. You hit Sidney Crosby in the head as much as you would like, or you elbow, Jake Guentzel. It's not even penalized, let alone, found to be something that could be, a suspended offense or anything of the such. So if you look at this series, there's a lot of things you can break down. Goaltending mismatch was ridiculous when you have Louis Domingue going against Shesterkin. That's just not fair on any track. But still, if the NHL would have just taken care of business and you have Sidney Crosby for, a longer period of time, if you have him in games 5 and 6, I think it's very much a Penguin series to advance to the second round.
Well, not only that, but Miller last night, he took a clear shot to Crosby's head around the goal, and you know the shot I'm talking about.
Exactly.
That's the kind of thing that is a penalty, and if you're looking to protect the game, especially on national TV, you make that call, and they didn't make the call. And, of course, Crosby never complains.
No, he used to. He learned the hard way. In fact, it was the great Edzo that we heard on the call. He was Sid's first NHL head coach, and Edzo was very stern and very strict with him about, you got to quit crying. Officiating is only going to get worse the more you mouth off. So Edzo was very, very strong on that end of things, and I think that helped quite a bit. But here's what's ironic. The only time the NHL cares about head injuries is when your helmet comes off. Yeah. You have to immediately skate to the bench, which is probably one of the more ridiculous things. The NHL could be very ridiculous. That stands out as something very, very ridiculous.
Yeah, and it happened, and Marino played a really good series. Now, he's not the one that had to skate off. Pedersen did. But Marino played a really good series.
He played pretty strong as well.
Yeah, but last night was not one of them. Neither one of them, especially Marino, for some odd reason, didn't play well, because I thought Jari played great.
He did, for coming, a broken foot. Now, we don't know what bone it was, or, if it was any kind of, weight-bearing bone or whatever it was, but he didn't play, for a good bit of time, and wasn't even on skates. He had his leg in a boot for the first 3 or 4 days of the injury. So, yeah, to be in that state of conditioning, that state of rustiness, he was not the problem. And actually, goaltending wasn't the problem either. It really wasn't.
No.
I mean, it was a mismatch, certainly, but when you have a 3-1 lead, with or without Sid, you just kind of find a way to scratch out one more win. And you had leads in every game. You had leads in all 3 of the games that you needed to get that 4th win. You find a way. And the Penguins have been very stubborn and somewhat arrogant in that they think the league will adjust to them, Steve. And the playoffs are going to be a lot more physical. Things aren't going to be called. Playoffs aren't going to, power plays aren't going to determine the outcome. So they just continue, like, this is now the 4th straight year where they think the league's going to change. And they've been eliminated in the first round for 4 straight years because the league is not going to change.
No,
it's
not.
Now, in 16 and 17, they were the fastest team in the NHL. You can't hit what you can't catch. They're not that team anymore. And they have zero physicality. Zero. They're a soft team. And you take Dumoulin out of the mix, which was really a huge factor.
I agree.
They're really pretty lame on the blue line. I mean, they have talent in Letang and Matheson, great skating, but they don't have any toughness. They don't have any, guys that if you put your head down for a second, you're going to pay for it. They don't have those guys. You need them in the postseason.
If you're going to guess now, the old Bill Walsh saying when he was talking to Randy Cross said, "I think you've got 5 more years left in the league, but only 2 of them are really good. I only want the really good ones." They're kind of at that point with Malkin, Letang, and then to a point, Rust, who's 30. How do you think it plays out?
It's going to be very interesting. I think Rust is going to get money that the Penguins aren't going to match, and that'll be unfortunate because he's a gamer. I mean, he is a big-time clutch performer, and I think he had a fantastic year that's going to earn him the money the Penguins can't afford. I think Gino will take a significant discount. He's already said many times, I have more than enough money. He's not one of those guys that's going to go to the highest bidder. Letang is still that guy. The quarterback's your power play, is the absolute defender on the penalty kill, and will put up minutes that'll blow your mind, 28 to 30 minutes every game.
Yeah.
If someone offers him 3 or 4 years at a pretty big number, he's going to probably go, and it probably will be Montreal, his hometown.
Yeah. And guess what? They got the cash to do it.
I don't blame him. He doesn't know the Penguins a discount.
No, and Montreal is desperate, Paul. They need to get some credibility back with their fans, along with the first overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, and I think Chris brings that, and he is such a great human being, the hardest worker you'll ever find. Yes, he infuriates you with some of the chances that he takes, some of the giveaways, but he more than makes up for that with all the positive impact that he has.
Well, you just described yourself, great human being and positive impact. My friend, it's always a pleasure.
Well, Steve, it is a great pleasure to be with you. My son Sam is actually going to be a cheerleader for the Nittany Lions next year, so hopefully he'll be up for a lot more games.
I can't wait to see you, and
great
congrats
stuff,
to Sam.
Right?
That's awesome, isn't it? It's great.
It is. I can't wait. Steve, thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
You too, Paul. Paul Alexander joining us in Pittsburgh. As we talked about the Penguins, who fought their way in Game 7 and came up just short. They didn't get into the fetal position and just go away.
Although I think a lot of Pittsburgh fans and media can use some cheese with their wine. That's all I'm going to say.
I haven't heard anybody complain about much of anything, to be frank with you. No, seriously, I haven't.
The Crosby hit, that's all I have seen for the last two days.
This Crosby hit.
And we got to protect our star. Enough! You were up 3-1. You had plenty of chances to close out the series.
That's where you're wrong. No, this is where you're wrong. You got to kind of reel it in a little bit. It doesn't matter to me who wins, but what are we trying to do in sports all the time to protect? I mean, let's talk about the last, especially 5 years. What are we looking to protect?
I mean, all the time. I get it. Should that have been called? No, yes.
Okay. What are we trying to protect? Head injuries.
Yeah, I get it.
All the time. Okay. What did they have to test Joel Embiid for on the orbital bone? He had a clear concussion protocol to start with. Okay, we're trying to protect head injuries. Okay, Embiid should not have had a head injury. Crosby should not have either. Okay, you're trying to protect against that. It's more than just was it a penalty or not. You gotta stay away from that part of the body. Okay, in every sport, football, hockey, basketball. Okay, you worry about it in baseball sometimes, you know, with a pitch that gets up. I mean, that's why you do penalize it. You penalize it for that reason, Matt. It has nothing to do with, like, whining, moaning, and complaining.
Oh, I agree.
What bothered me is it not only should have been called, it should have been, I'm talking, you've got to put teeth into this. That's a five-minute penalty to me. It's not 2 minutes.
I agree.
It's a five-minute penalty, and you got to call it during the regular season. You got to call it in the postseason because you got to get people conditioned to not doing that. I realize every once in a while something inadvertent happens. Okay, you kind of fly around, especially with a stick, kind of fly around and you hit it in such a way. And I talk in football all the time about the running back or the quarterback or the receiver that kind of anticipating the hit ducks down into getting hit in the helmet. I mean, I understand the inadvertent one. I talk about it all the time. But that was, you know, when you're talking about a seven-game series and it's that close, losing him for a couple games or a game and a half, that doesn't help, especially when he's still probably one of the top five players in the league. That does not help. Louis Domingue, the last goal he gave up in game six, that was a third-string goalie. Right there on that play. Hey, that was like, I mean, that was just a bad goal he gave up. Yeah. And they're not complaining about Jari being out, but they hit on Crosby. Man, it's more than just protecting stars. It's, you know, it's what's right for the game. And that was, and last night, I'm watching last night, and Crosby's right around the net, and Miller goes with the stick, I mean, right up and jolts Crosby back. Like, I'm sitting there like going, you're telling me that's not a penalty? Really? And it doesn't matter to me who wins the game, but I'm concerned about why are you going up high on a guy that's already been hit in the head and missed a game and a half because of a head injury? That's where I get a little bothered by it. But, you know, but the game sevens in hockey were way better than the game sevens in the NBA. And I'll say the Celtics Bucks game, the Celtics were what, a plus 54 from the 3-point line? But you're talking about 88 3-point attempts in a 48 minute game. That's almost 2 3-point attempts per minute. It's almost one every 30 seconds. I know what analytics say, but is that attractive basketball? I'm just asking. I mean, is that attractive basketball, having that many three-point attempts between two teams?
Especially when there are a lot of misses, like three-fourths of the time.
Yeah, well, that's what the Bucks had. The Bucks only made four. I mean, the Celtics made 22 of theirs. They were like 22 of 58, maybe? Which is not... That's okay. That's fine. But four? All right. Let's get to Randy in Danville. Randy, pleasure. How are you today, sir?
Really good. Better than I deserve, Steve.
Well, you know what? I think you deserve to be good, so I'm just glad you're with us.
Why, I really enjoyed the interview with Nate Stupar. That was a real special interview for me. You know, I just was amazed at what he went through and he just comes off to me like a guy that didn't have any kind of arrogance or ego. He just worked, and he had that support group, you know, his parents and his family and behind him, I just about quit college, and my wife urged me to continue and finish off. I had like 8 credits to go, and I did, and I'm glad I did. But just to have that support group behind you, your parents, and to just say, stick it out, do not leave Penn State, and he got his chance, and I really enjoyed that. And by the way, Steve, I got the biggest kick out of, he was trying to remember some of the games he was in and the college games he was in and the team, and the big E on the helmet. You right away, you said Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, your memory is amazing, Steve. And you have done this back in other shows. I remember you, Steve, and some of these professionals you interview. You're helping them out with what games they were, what year it was, and the scores, and so I got a big kick out of that.
Well, I'm just fortunate I'm able to remember that stuff. That's all. So I'm just lucky.
I am a switching over our subject to hockey. I am a real casual fan in the NHL. Very casual. But I wanted to see the Penguins play because they have what's his name, the kid?
Crosby.
Their star, yeah. Crosby, and then, you know, they have the other couple of guys that are really good.
Malkin and Letang, yeah. They've been together for so long, yep.
Yep, and, you know, I was watching each game, and I think I picked the series up on the second game, and I just felt that the Rangers had an offense where they'd always seem to get the puck to a guy in the center and like 15 feet from the net, the cage, whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's how they scored. The Penguins just didn't seem to do that. And I just felt the Rangers were going to win that series. And when the Penguins lost the game 6, I thought, oh, they're going to Madison Square Garden. They're going to have their hands full. And I don't think they're going to win that one. And they didn't. It was close. But the Rangers just had a better offensive scheme, I think. And then, of course, Crosby being out, you know, with that head injury. That was the difference that the Rangers needed. So, that's my observations of that series. I just felt the Rangers were going to win that.
Well, you ended up being right about all of that. You know, him being out did not help. But you're right. The Rangers, it seemed like their chances were so point blank. Not having Tristan Jarry did not help, because then DeSmith got hurt. Now you're down to the third guy. I thought it was they were fortunate in a lot of ways that they got as far as they did. And I say that with all due respect to Louis Domingue, who gave it everything he had. But as I point out many times, there's a reason you're the third guy. I mean, and that's as simple as it gets. There's a reason you're the third guy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I enjoyed that interview with Nate.
Thanks.
Dupar, and I just wanted to give you my thoughts on the Penguins Rangers series. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show very much, Steve.
Greatly appreciate you and the comments very, very much. Thank you so much, Randy.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Singing. repairs get difficult?
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Under a minute to go here in the first half. Stunning. 27-point lead. Down goes Johnson, 3.
Oh, no.
I thought on the Sixers highlights, didn't they say no good a lot?
That would be a yes, unfortunately.
I'm trying to remember, when they acquired Harden, there was some member of our broadcast team that was like, okay.
I vaguely remember that, yeah. But at least the Suns did the same thing, too. So, you know, there's that, I guess.
Yeah, but I thought the Warriors were going to beat them anyway, so it didn't matter to me.
I thought
the Warriors were going to beat them.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life business. Boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. But they do a lot more than just that at Purdy Insurance. A lot more than just that. They are the pros. And they have great people who are just really good at their jobs. But they're great people. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. All right, we're Bob Grove in a few moments. I just want to open the door for you to complain about anything that's bothering you right now.
I'm good. Other than Penguin fans and media being a little nauseating today, but that's okay. Other than that, I'm fine.
Yeah, but they're not wrong. If they're wrong, they're nauseating. They're not wrong. Right? Again, what are we doing in today's sports over and over again? What are we doing?
Trying to protect head injuries. I get it. It should have been a penalty, a major penalty. He should have been suspended. There should have been at least a 2-minute penalty called last night, too.
And not only that, you lose one of the game's best players on a play like that.
I get that. But it's not the reason the Penguins lost the series. Well, no.
They played a third-string goalie. They didn't have him. They played part of the time without Raquel. They played part of the time without Dumoulin. I mean, they had a lot of guys out in this series. I fairly talked about Middleton being out of the Celtics series. That's what we try to do here. We try to be fair about it. I mean, did I want the Celtics to win? Of course I did. But did Middleton play? No. Was it a major factor? Absolutely it was. Now, if you want, I could sit here and just say, that's stupid. Is that going to be Luke's next word? Sixers, stupid. Oh, wait, that's a sentence. All right.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I just made that up on the spot. I thought that was pretty good. All right, let's turn our attention to Bob Grove to talk about the Penguins and the losing in Game 7. Bob, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Great to have you with us.
Steve, great to be on with you as always.
All right. So tough times. We'll get to the personnel questions in a moment. But what did... In watching last night, this will be two parts, just the overall play by the Pens and also the job Tristan Jarry turned in last night.
Well, the overall play by the Pens was pretty darn good.
Yes.
You know, you're on the road in Game 7, and you've got another 6 minutes to go, and you're going to win the game.
Yep.
But, you know... Holding leads has been their Achilles heel in this series. They had a lead in Game 5. They had a lead in Game 6. Both of those were of two goal leads. And then in Game 7, they had a 3-2 lead with 6 minutes to go, and they lost all three games. So, you know, their special teams had been a big, big issue and came through for the most part. The power play produced two goals last night. The PK, you know, killed the first three and then gave up the one in overtime. So,
right.
It was, it's the second season in a row the Penguins have basically outplayed their opponent and lost in the first round. But they, you know, you gotta protect leads. You can't win in the playoffs if you don't know how to close games. Jarry was very good.
Yes.
He hadn't played in a month. He obviously, if you watched the game, you could see he was laboring a little bit.
Yep.
You know, he did everything he could. He battled. So he had no complaints at all about Tristan Jarry, and Mike Sullivan made the right call to play him.
No question. Agree with all of that. Not having, you know, subtly not having Dumoulin really hurt in the series, I thought.
Well, it did. You know, there's been a lot of talk in Pittsburgh this season about Dumoulin. His game's fallen off. He's not as dependable as he's always been. I personally feel like he's still good. I would agree to it to a degree that I think he got hurt a couple of years ago. For me, he's sort of never been the same. His decision-making hasn't been the same. I'm not sure what happened. But to your point, when you take – it doesn't matter. If you're saying Brian Dumoulin – did not have a great season, so you didn't miss him when he left the lineup. That's completely, for me, the wrong approach, because that's your top defensive pair. And when Letang and Dumoulin aren't together, the team feels it. And they played Matheson with Letang, and, you know, Matheson is an unbelievable skater and can pull off some great plays, and he can also make some really bad decisions, and he did both in this series. So, for me, it was a definite loss.
Yeah. All right. So now let's get to the future. Letang and Malkin are both sitting right there and dangling, but they aren't the only ones. They had to make some decisions here. So with Letang and Malkin, what do you think the read is on what the decisions could be there?
Well, and you got to throw Brian Rust into this equation.
Well, that's why, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, so for Letang and Malkin, Malkin's 36. Letang has just turned 35. Malkin's cap hit is $9 million, and Letang's is $7.5 million. And Letang's coming off the best offensive season of his life at the age of 35. So his new contract is not going to, he's not going to go from 7.5 to 5.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
He's going to get 7 something probably. And can the Penguins, who are up against the cap, and you've heard GM Ron Hextall talk 800 times about how they're up against the cap and it gives them no flexibility and they need flexibility. So, I'm sure they've talked to Chris Letang. You know, there have been various reports that the team has had both conversations with Malkin and Letang, and that they're not really close. How much truth there is to that, I don't know. Malkin is probably going to have to come down from $9 million cap hit, but this gets into two segments, Steve. It's not just the amount of money.
No.
Also, how many years are you going to sign for?
Exactly.
That's the other piece, right? So if Chris Letang has in his mind, hey, I want to play another 5 years at $7 million, I don't think it's happening. And if Evgeny Malkin is thinking the same thing, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, he's going to have to probably come down into the $7 million range if he wants to stay. But until you get inside these guys' minds and know personally what it means to them to stay here or move on, it's really hard to say. But I could see, quite frankly, I could see the Penguins losing both of them.
All right. So now let's get to Brian Rust. Higher priority?
Well, a lot of people would say, look, if you can't sign Letang and Malkin, lots of money left over for Rust. I generally agree with that. You know, Rust is not as old, obviously. Mm-hmm. Just turned 30, and he's had another great year. And if it weren't for some injuries, his numbers would always be better, you know, than they were. Now, that said, I thought the last month and a half, 2 months of the season, he didn't really play all that well. He was okay. He was all right, but he didn't. And in this series, it's kind of the same, you know. So this is the biggest contract Brian Rust is ever going to sign in his entire career.
Right.
This particular contract. So if the Penguins are willing to move from the 3.5 he's making, which they will be, to a different number, he's going to land for me at 5.5 to 6 million a year. And if the Penguins can't stomach that, I think they should really give it a lot of consideration because he's a terrific player. But he's going to want term again. You know, he's not going to sign a 3-year deal. He's going to be looking for 5 or 6 years at that kind of money. So how does Ron Hextall and how the Fenway Sports Group, how do they feel about that? We'll find out here in the next couple months.
Well, I would have been able to predict what the Fenway Sports Group would do 5 years ago. Now I can't. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Ever since Mookie Betts got traded, I can't tell you what they're going to do.
I know. It's tough. But I mean, when Letang and Malkin, their ages make this completely different than Rust, right?
Right. So, exactly.
And Rust's motivation. So Rust is from the Detroit area. What if the Wings, you know, say to him, look, whatever the Penguins offer you, we'll beat it. And he goes home to play. I mean, I'm just throwing out scenarios.
Sure.
I had no idea. It's really hard. It's hard to know. And if the Penguins lose two or all three of those guys, now they suddenly have the cap flexibility that Ron Hextall has wanted all these years. And so they'll go out and sign some players who aren't 35 and 36 and 30, right? They'll go out and sign guys who are 26 and 27. That'd be my guess, to try and build back, you know, before Sidney Crosby's next contract ends in 3 years.
All right. Also, I believe Casey DeSmith is... A free is
yep.
he a free
he needs
agent?
A contract. Yep. Yes, he does. Evan Rodriguez needs a contract. You know, he had a big goal last night to look for a long time, like it might be the winner.
Right.
You know, they've got other guys. Yes, but the thing is, if you're the Penguins, that stuff will work itself out. It's a trickle down. You got to make your decisions on the big guys, and then once you make those decisions, then you know how all the other folks come in, because Rodriguez made $1 million this year,
right?
And you know, he was almost a 20 goal scorer in the league this year. He'll be looking for a lot more money.
Right. I thought Letang put together a really good season. Really good. He's such a rudder for everything they do, and all, you know, whether it's killing a penalty, being on the power play, or even strength. I know what his age happens to be. How do you prioritize these guys? I mean, just you. How do you prioritize these guys? Because, I mean, you talked about years. Years are going to be important.
Right. Well, it becomes hard when, as you look at it, you try to factor out the emotion, right? So, you know, in the fairy tale ending, everybody stays and they all end up as Penguins
right.
for their entire careers. Okay, but that's not going to happen.
Right.
I don't see that in the cards. Letang has so many minutes that you can easily make the case that he's the guy you need to spend the money on, if indeed you can get him at the term and the price you want. The minute Chris Letang leaves, Penguin fans who don't appreciate him right now are going to have a different appreciation for him next season. Because you take those 27 minutes a night and you give them to somebody else, and you're going to see it's not the same. I mean, this guy is in such great physical condition, and they can lean on him at important times of games, and that's all gone the minute he leaves. And they don't have a player on their roster who can step in and eat those kind of minutes. They just don't.
And then there's the business part. I'll give you the quote from Bill Walsh. And he's talking to Harrison. No, he's talking to Randy Cross. And Randy Cross was up for a contract. And he looked at Randy Cross and he said, look, you want a 5-year deal. I think you've got 2 great years left in the NFL. You know, 2 great years left. I only want you for the 2 great years. All right. Now, from a management point of view, from the cold point of view, that's how they feel. It's the emotion part is where you give them the 5 years. And that's, you know, that's. Do you have any read on Ron Hextall as to what kind of how he views such things? I mean, from an emotional point of view, because. Or is he a guy that can look at somebody and go, nope, I only want you for your 2 best years?
Yeah, he's going to be that guy.
Yep.
He's going to be the guy who doesn't bring the same level of emotion to this because he's only been around for a little over a year. You know, I mean, so he doesn't have that kind of emotion invested in Geno and Letang staying with the Penguins forever.
Right.
And he's gonna look at the age of the team. He's going to look at the number of prospects that in his eyes, they don't have coming through the pipeline.
Right.
And he's going to say, I need this cap flexibility, and we can kind of retool our team. And you all know that he and Brian Burke want the team to have a more physical edge, and that you can go out and you can sort of accomplish this once you have all this kind of salary freedom to go do it. So I think he would be a guy that would say to either one of them, yeah, give me 2 years, but I don't.
Right.
You know, Steve, these guys aren't going to take 2-year contracts.
No
or
way.
3 to match what Sid has. It's not going to happen. So in the real world, I could easily see them losing both of those guys, and then Russ would be a question mark. So it's going to be an emotional summer for Penguins fans.
I thought the Penguins played really well last night. I mean, they were also almost 2-1 on shots on these guys. And I thought they played really well. But you know what, I didn't feel like John Marino played well last night. And I'm not pinning it on one guy. Just kind of, you know, he had the giveaway on the tying goal. He just kind of stepped aside on the winning goal. It's like, geez.
Yeah, he had all that. I know. I mean, I tell you what, he and Pettersson had a great series.
Oh, they were outstanding.
You know, they both. And Pettersson, you know, got involved in the play with the helmet coming off that cost them on the tying goal. And, you know, so there was that. But those guys had a great series. And, you know, McGinn made a mistake at the end that led to his penalty, et cetera, et cetera. So you can point to different things. But Marino's arc, his development arc as a player, hasn't gone where people expected it would be, you know, now at this point in his career after his rookie season. But I thought I thought those two were their best pair, to be honest with you, in the series. I thought they were really good.
You had a lot of 6- and 7-game series in this opening round. I mean, Penguins and Rangers had to go to overtime in Game 7. Calgary and Dallas had to go to overtime before the Flames won last night. What does that tell us about the balance of the NHL when you have this many series that are that close and hotly contested?
Well, it's great for fans, is it not?
Oh, it's awesome.
Absolutely.
I love watching.
Fans, because anyone who thought Dallas could come anywhere close to making this a series, the only person who thought about it was Jake Oettinger, the goaltender, who was out of this world in that series.
Yes.
He was incredible. But, yeah, it says a lot. It says, you know, we talk a lot about that parity in that first round being so hard to get through, and it's true. Although, you know, this year the teams at the bottom were pretty far from, you know, some of the teams were a lot farther out of it than I think we've seen in past years.
Yes.
And, you know, the other thing that people bring up is it's the same teams. Like, the teams at the bottom are, for the most part, like, we didn't expect the Islanders, of course, to miss, and they did because of everything that went on with their season. But, yeah, it's what makes the first round so much fun. And, you know, other than the Avs, you know, walking over Nashville, who didn't have their number one goaltender. You know, it's been a lot of fun to watch, for sure.
Well, I'm not surprised Montreal has the first overall pick, because I don't care if they got to the Stanley Cup final last year. I didn't like them last year either. So I said that was just me. I didn't like Montreal last year.
Well, yeah, I know. And so they got the chance to get Shane Wright and get the thing rebuilt here. The draft's in Montreal this year for the first time in decades, I think it is.
Yeah.
They got the number one pick. You know, it's going to be interesting to watch how that all unfolds. But, yeah, there's a lot of work to do for Marty St. Louis up in Montreal for sure.
27 Stanley Cups? You know, now we're coming up on, 30 seasons?
since they won one?
Yeah, last win was 93.
93,
right?
With Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, and the year the Penguins got eliminated, and when they were the best team in the league. And
yep.
You're just not used to the Canadiens being the worst team in the league. It's just bizarre when you see their names on it. You're like, but that just doesn't look right.
I know.
But that's where they find themselves.
Yeah. Well, no. Growing up in New England, so I'm growing up when it's Orr, Esposito, Hodge, mm-hmm. all those guys. And it's right. You know, Montreal, yeah. They got John Beliveau. They got Yvonne Cormier. You know, they're going through. And then all of a sudden, now they got Larry Robinson. And then they got Ken Dryden. Oh, then they got Patrick Roy. You're like, these guys have all the time. I remember when Rajon Ouellette, for goodness sakes, was playing with Nova Scotia. We'll call him up. Great.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as you know, for years before the draft, you know, yeah. got to being the quote-unquote modern draft, you know,
yes.
they had first dibs on the guys in Quebec. And
all the time.
They had so much depth in their organization, they could trade good but middle ground players to teams and get their draft picks. And, you know, they traded with teams who were really bad and ended up having number one and number two draft picks. And, then, you know, so it just that system fed itself for so many years.
And now their fans are the ones that are consumed with hate. All right. So. All right, Bob, it's always, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
And Bob Grove. Was there enough? Did you notice that we didn't complain about anything in there? Did you notice that?
I did notice that. But I do want to point this out. I just saw this come by. Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. I guess they had Rob Rossi on, who covers the Pens for The Athletic, used to be his host there. And apparently, Crosby passed a concussion protocol test for Game 6, but the Pens said no. So there you have it, Pens fans. Blame your own team.
Oh, I think there's enough blame in the state to go around.
I'm just telling you the facts. That's it. Crosby was ready to go. Pens helped him out. There you go. They got nobody to blame but themselves.
Which brings us to this song. Nobody to blame but themselves.
On the run.
Perfectly. Yes, the Sixers are on the run. Out of the play. Running out of the playoffs. Your people. To quote Dick Girardi, the Sixers are...
gone. Yeah, I know.
Gone.
So are the Pens. Gone.
Again, you're just being, you know, you're trying to somehow channel your pain, and it's deep, in the direction of other people. Is this what you want to teach your two young boys? Is that what you want to teach?
No, of course not. I'm just pointing out facts.
Then why are you doing this on the show? What do you think? The two lads can't hear the show? We are on over-the-air radio. I'm concerned for you. Lisa can't have a big enough influence. Daddy gets mad at the TV a lot. Why? Daddy yells at the TV a lot. Why? Daddy made me cut the lawn today and it didn't need it. Why? Oh. All right, tomorrow we have with Tony Knopp on the show tomorrow, Neil Kulong.
Yes, sir.
Talk about the business of sports and how it's actually good for the NBA to have the fifth largest market in the country out of the playoffs. Oh, wait. No, that's not good. You got one of the top three players in the league. They got to figure out how to take that. And really, he's a transcendent talent and turn it into a title before he's out of there.
May
May is National Military Appreciation Month. During the month of May, we will honor, recognize, and appreciate all the men and women who have served and are still serving our great country. The United States remains the land of the free and home of the brave because of their selfless service and sacrifice. From all of us at Purdy Insurance, thank you for serving our country and protecting our freedoms.